Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's Strategies of Success. Today's strategy of success is what one would call real life. This is really what somebody has gone through. This is really the changes that this person has really, truly made. This is not a textbook. This is not a theoretical discussion. This is not a, oh, what would I do in that situation? Because, Ben, I don't believe in that. We plan for different things. We think that we're going to act in a certain way, but do you really know what you would really do if you were really in somebody else's shoes? There's no way. Or if you think that you're going to be in some situation, what you would do? Absolutely, we plan for it. Business owners, individuals, family members, we plan for so many different eventualities, but we don't know what we're going to do until we're actually there. Think about that one. We don't know what we're going to do until we're actually there. Well, today's story is one of those because our guest has wound up in a situation where he was trying to find a job, trying to reinvent himself. But it was one thing to look for a job for a week. It was another thing to look for a job for a month. And then month turned into second month and became months and then even became longer than that. What would you do? Well, I tend to think that you would do the right thing, and I hope that you would follow in the footsteps of what our guest has done, because what he has done is completely reinvented himself, and that became very important to him on multiple levels, and it also became very important to the folks that were going to hire him, which he did get hired, which he did find that job. So who is our guest? Our guest today is somebody who I had met years ago in the business community as part of the networking world. He'd become a friend of mine through that. I've gotten to know him. I've gotten to see and follow along with what he's been doing. Maybe I've helped along the way. I don't really know. We'll find that out in a minute or two. But he has stuck to his guns to get the job that he wanted to and stay within that industry that he wanted to, and that is incredibly commendable, and I am honored to have him on today's show, and that is Michael Fenster. Michael, I want to thank you for joining us, telling your story and sharing with us what you went through, and hopefully we'll be able to learn from your experiences and apply them in our own way. And with your overall message, I know is something that is applicable to everybody. So, Michael, again, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Brian. I appreciate it.
Now, your story did start a couple of years ago on the reinvention side of things. And where did it all begin? You were working for a company, and then all of a sudden you found that you were looking for a new job, a new career?
I was looking. I got divorced in September of 2009. My ex-wife left me, and we're still on good terms. Thank God for that. But I lost my current job after being at a company for almost 2 years. And after that, I got very distraught. You know, I didn't know what I wanted. I was just trying to get my act together. And I just wanted a job in the nonprofit circle because that's what I prefer, because I call myself a socioeconomic person. I believe in the mission of a nonprofit as well as doing the production of the financial analysis for it. And that's why I've stuck to my guns. I've taken temporary jobs since then, you know, working for my brother, working through another job in Medicare, Medicaid, through a girl who I met in networking. But just, it wasn't exactly what I wanted. And I just did it for 5 years. And finally, 5.5 years later, I landed a permanent job. And I stuck to my guns, like you said, and I will not deviate from what I want.
You know, there's an interesting comment that you make about not deviating from what you want. Because it seems like many of us have to go through some sort of turmoil in order to figure out what it is that we truly do want. You know, we wind up in some career path that, oh, this is what my family has done for years, or this is what it seems like I should be doing, or this maybe is what becomes easy for me to do. But then again, at some point in time, we take a look at what we're doing to see if it really is truly bringing us joy for what it is. You went through, you know, a divorce, and then you know, with the career change and everything, that's when it really came clear to you as to really where you wanted to be, and that's where you put your efforts now.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I put my efforts to only working for a nonprofit because I don't believe in corporate American greed. As a business major, I know it's weird, but I don't. I believe in like a company like United Cerebral Palsy, for instance, because they help people who are less fortunate than us, and that makes me happy that they could help people out, and I believe in paying it forward. And that's why I got involved with networking, met you, and among other great people, and I believe in paying it forward. I'm currently like on the advisory board for Ronald McDonald House of Long Island, and I would like to get involved with other nonprofits, like be on the advisory board or help any way, fundraising or whatever it takes, because I believe, sure, you know, I was given a gift and able to, like, share my knowledge as well as my passion for the nonprofit place itself.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of businesses that are truly involved, you know, with the nonprofit community. I think, and you and I know you and I have seen that through a lot of the networking groups, the business that are involved within the networking community on Long Island. Even right now, I know there's a big campaign to get to collect socks, you know, to give away to everybody. It's a non-political it's a non-political yeah. item, you know, to share with everybody. So there are many companies out there that are truly doing the right thing by being a part of it. You know, the greed conversation, we could save that one for another day, but there are plenty of places that are out there doing, truly doing the right thing. So you wanted to work within that nonprofit sector. Your involvement with the Ronald McDonald House, you know, has that helped you in developing further connections? Now, you're volunteering with the Ronald McDonald House, correct?
Yes. It hasn't given me connections for a job, but it reinforces my paying it forward because, you know, the person who recommended me, Marvin Soskal, is like a philanthropist among the nonprofit sector. So, therefore, he told me to go to this meeting, and I was just overwhelmed by the house and how they help these people who have kids with these diseases, and they could stay in like a hotel-like setting instead of driving back and forth to visit their kid in the hospital. And I thought that was amazing. And therefore, there's like other organizations, you know, like I said, you're on Cerebral Palsy. I've also been involved with the breast cancer of like Long Island, playing in their softball game every August. So therefore, I've met some great people, and I believe in paying it forward.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other folks that also believe in that, and you're meeting them. You know, because it's interesting that we meet the right kind of people at the right kind of places, specifically. You want to be involved in the non-for-profit community, non-for-profit industry. And then by being involved with these different charity events, the softball game, or becoming a trustee for the Ronald McDonald House, you're finding other like-minded people. So, I mean, some say that it's luck, that you'll run across the right person. I don't believe in luck at all. And I don't believe that you would either, because you put yourself in the right place, and that is what makes things happen, by being at the right place at the right time because you put yourself there. And that's great. And meeting somebody like Marvin Soskal, you know, who, without a doubt, is one of those stand-up kind of guys. You know, he's certainly is out there looking to pay it forward, also looking to really help everybody out wherever he possibly can. You know, so that is a great thing. Michael, let me just ask you specifically, though. I mean, you meet the right people, but you also mentioned the word confidence. You know, by being involved with these different groups, by adding value to the Ronald McDonald House, to the charity events, that helps you build your confidence up after going through. I mean, it's a tough thing to go through a divorce.
Oh, it definitely did.
And
it definitely built my confidence. Definitely built my confidence up. And also, as you said in the beginning, I did go through a transformation because I have dedicated myself to weight loss over the past year and a half to 2 years. I finally got tired of the way I looked. I looked sluggish. I looked heavy. I was always tired. And since then, I've lost close to 100 pounds in about 16 to 17 months. I have about another 80 to 90 to go and stop, you know, but it's about time I did something. I'm not getting any younger. I am 47. I do want to look good when I'm 60. So I figure, let me start it. You know, sometimes I slip and fall back, but basically I have it under control. And that's the way I've always been. Like, you know, sometimes I don't let setbacks really get me down. Sometimes in the past it has, but lately I'm just not going to let any setback step in my way. And that's why I persevered and got the job I did at a nonprofit in Brooklyn, which does fantastic work for the Brooklyn community.
Well, you mentioned about the, you know, the small setbacks that takes place. That is reality. You know, the reality of the fact is, even with weight loss or jobs or whatever it is, I mean, sometimes, you know, life kind of gets in the way there a little bit, or there are factors that are beyond our control. But when you have that confidence, as you do now, it certainly helps you get through some of those items that come up that we cannot control. How important to you has really been the weight loss? And because it seems like your confidence has grown from a couple of different places. One, by being involved with others that are doing well, that are giving back, and that gives you the confidence about what it is that you're doing. But the weight loss also, I mean, that is something that solely you are in control of.
Exactly. Like, weight loss has given me the confidence that I know stuff I never thought I could do. Like, I used to wake up very tired. Now I'm more energetic during the week. I eat better at home. Obviously, when I go out to, like, a sports bar and watch a football game, I'm not going to have a lettuce wedge. I'm going to have, like, a burger and fries and a beer. But just makes me feel better, and I'm more confident in myself. I present myself better. I'm not dressing as sloppily as I used to. I'm taking better care of myself physically and mentally, so that does help a lot.
And how much of that do you think other people see? You know, when we talk about going in on that interview, you know, if you go in on an interview and you're overweight, I guess it's comfortable to say that word overweight if you've lost 100 pounds, got a few more to go, but, you know, people look at you, you come in, you're overweight, and maybe could be presenting a little bit better, and now that you are, and you're on that path, where you're getting healthier, where you're losing the weight, where you're bringing yourself down to, even though you're not down to the number you want to be at, you're on that right, let's say, staircase. You know, you're right on that right path in order to get there. That's the confidence that people see, and that became very important to you. Do you think that really helped you during the interview process?
I was the same person, but people look at people who are overweight, unfortunately, in a bad light, which, unfortunately, I do not. I treat people the same, whether they're heavy, thin, tall, short, it doesn't matter. It's the person inside. But unfortunately, when you first meet someone for an interview, they have all these preconceived prejudices, like, oh, he's heavy, he's going to cost us a lot of money in medical, or he's really not that confident in what he does. But I exude confidence wherever I try to go, especially when I interview in a nonprofit. But since I lost the weight, I'm more confident in what I do. And I know, and I tell people, basically, you get a great person who's dedicated. And I emphasize that every time I go on an interview. I said I'm very dedicated to the cause of a nonprofit institution itself.
Well, Mike, let me tell you something. I hear it in your voice, the confidence level. And, you know, you and I have had sit-down meetings face-to-face, and you've explained what you were going through and where you're at, and you were trying to find a job. And then now, listening to you now and speaking with you at this very moment, I could hear that confidence in your voice. And I would guess that that has come from, one, the weight loss, one, being in control of how you approach life in its entirety, inclusive of, you know, finding the job that you want, sticking to your guns and staying in the industry. So how has that really helped you through? And are you even seeing that with your other relationships with people?
I think it has. Like, some people who I never thought I'd ever come in contact with are coming in contact with. I met some great people over the past year who I've developed really good friendships with, who I normally would not even think they would give me the time of day. But I guess because I exude confidence and feel comfortable in my own body, they're seeing it and relating a good message towards it.
Yeah, that is really wonderful. And, you know, normally, Mike, we're about halfway through. You know, normally I would share a website with people, you know, your own website. But I also want to point out to everybody right at this moment, there is no website. This is not about, hey, look at my business, look at what I've done, you know, and how I can help you kind of a thing. Michael has decided to do this because he wanted to share his story with you, because he just wanted to pay it forward. He wanted to give back to everybody and let you know that you can change everything, everything about you, about how you interact with people, the career that you're taking, the whole thing. It just is a matter of, I'll let him give the word a little bit later as to what that one word is, but it really does start from within. It starts with you to go and do something, and that was one of the reasons why I was just so thrilled to have Michael on the program over here, you know, to talk about his story and to share with you what it's like to go through this whole transformation. I mean, go figure this out. You go from losing a spouse, you know, you get the divorce, you lose the job, you got to go through that, you're a couple of, well, many pounds overweight, you're not presenting yourself in a positive manner, and then what do you do? You know, as I asked in the beginning of the program, what would you do in a certain situation? Think about that right now. What would you do? You're 180 pounds overweight. You're divorced. You don't have a job. You know, it's an upsetting situation to be in. So do you just kind of roll over and say, "Oh man, this is the way it's going to be forever"? Oh, you know, it's a terrible situation and there's nothing I could do. Or you do what Michael has done. And Michael, that is why I was so excited when you came to me with the idea of having you on the program, because you did not roll over. If anything, you stood up tall. You stood up strong, and now you are really taking control of absolutely everything. So, man, let me tell you, big round of applause to you. Rah-rah. You're doing a great job, and there really is so much that so many people could take from this whole thing, including the industry that you chose to focus on, you know, the nonprofit, because it does help so many other people that are out there. And let me ask you a specific question with regards to the nonprofit, and this, again, is something I think many of us could take something from, and probably many of us do know, is that when you are helping people either overcome their challenge or at least deal with their situation that much better, do you feel that you're gaining more from that situation than perhaps you're even giving?
I always give, but I feel like I'm gaining a lot more, like as I said, confidence and just being who I am. I'm aware of everything more keenly, I guess. You know, I'm aware of things, how people judge people, and I'm like, I'm never judgmental like that, but I see how many people do judge people by exterior and not going by the interior. And it's just about time, you know, like if I was a boss, I would hire anybody, because you have to go by the qualifications, not by what they look like.
Right.
And it's just like,
so
I feel very happy about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of hidden talents behind people that perhaps they don't know, or perhaps they let their disease situation, whether it's something self-created or not, you know, get in the way of it. But uncovering, peeling back those layers of an onion to find out who a person really is, for one, which you have done through the situation, but helping other people find out also exactly what their true strengths are, not what they can't do, but what they can do. And
that's correct.
With the folks that you're dealing with on an everyday basis, you know, it could be friends, business associates, or perhaps the folks that are involved with the charity. You seem to be much more aware of that and helping them find their strength.
Yes, I am. You know, like I felt down, you know, I felt like, you know, my life was over with what happened several years ago. And a few times I did fall into pitfalls, but I never got myself down to like the really down all the way. You know, I felt down, yes. But I said, I got to pick myself up and just do something about it. And that's what I did. And the word of the day, I call it, is perseverance. Perseverance.
And that's a great word. So how did you
and
come across the word perseverance? What was it that made that one stand out? Because most of the time it's usually like goal visualization or writing it down, and, you know, setting a plan. But perseverance became more of, it seems like that's a second step besides a goal, setting a goal. But the perseverance side of it is really following through. What was the story behind you choosing the word perseverance to live by?
I've always been, like, optimistic and stuff like that, so I figure optimistic, persistence, and then with one of my favorite quotes is by Jim Valvano, and with that goes, nothing has ever been accomplished in any walk of life without enthusiasm, without motivation, and without perseverance, and that's how I feel in life the same way.
That's a great quote, and it's very true. There is no overnight success with anything. It is a long road sometimes, and sometimes the longer the road it is, the more challenges we have to face, the more obstacles that we need to go through, the more meaningful the goal is, and also the richer the rewards would be. Doesn't have to be financial rewards, but just emotional rewards, which is something that you have achieved here, besides the fact that you're working. But the emotional rewards that you have seems to be so important to you, and it's something that you're going to continue to share with other people as you go along. But by sharing that quote, by making sure the word perseverance is something that is first and foremost on your mind, and helping other people pursue their goals and stick with and deal with the different challenges, you know, that come up. So specifically, when you were going through, and as you continue to go through the weight loss, you mentioned you'll have the burger, not the lettuce wedge, when you go to a ball game or do something like that. Do we even see that as a setback, or it's just you're enjoying life, you're enjoying the moment, and then you just kind of roll right back into?
I enjoy the moment because, you know, when you go out with friends, you know, people don't care what you eat, but I do when I go out, and I just want to feel like I'm part of the game. So, therefore, I'm part of it there, and then as soon as I get home, I'm back on the horse and back with the diet again.
Right. It's important to enjoy these different things that we are doing also. And every once in a while, I don't even see that as steering off course, and I don't think that you're going to look at it that way either. Right?
I don't look at it either, but some people do like this. Oh, you should be dieting and be strict. I said, yes, I am strict, but you just don't want to give up living and just you got to enjoy life. And sometimes you have to just say, screw it. Have a good meal once in a while. Don't live on lettuce because then you're missing out on stuff too.
I can certainly live with that. You know, every once in a while, like, you know, it's fine to do, but then you know what your, let's say, your treat is. You know, when you have one of those kind of nights, and then you make up for it, you know, going forward, and you stay active, you know, so that's good. And I don't know the answer to this one, so let me just, you know, put it out there. Have you been more physically active with part of what you're doing?
Yeah, when I was out of work, I walked every day for at least a half hour, 35 minutes, and now I walk around during lunch for at least 15 minutes, and then obviously when you work in Brooklyn, you have to walk to trains and buses. So I do at least 15 minutes of walk to work and about 15 minutes on the way home and then 15 minutes during the day. And then sometimes if I have enough strength, at the gain home at 7 o'clock, I will ride my bike for a little while, my stationary bike for like 10, 15 minutes just to get that going.
Good for you. That's great. I do the same thing, by the way. I don't do as much walking with the subways. But
as soon as I lose all the weight I have to, I'm going to join the gym and probably turn the sag into muscle.
Good for you. You become a machine, an absolute machine. I think
lean, mean, fighting machine,
Michael.
To quote John Candy.
All right. Hey, maybe you'll do the fight for charity one of these years.
Never, never. I don't believe in boxing. If it was fake like wrestling, yes. If it was WWE,
no.
I would do that, but not fight for boxing. No way.
I'll take
part in it, but I will not fight.
Okay. Well, we'll help you promote one of the fighters, you know, that are out there raising money. That's always a beautiful event also. It is terrific what some of the folks are doing out there. As it is, I think it's really terrific, you know, with you. Hey, let me ask you another question here, because sometimes, you know, like the weight loss and the walking, you know, you're doing that on your own. You know, this is something that you had set for yourself as a goal to do, and you persevered by actually doing it and making that happen. But has there been other people that have helped you along the way, either walked with you, supported you, gave you different ideas that you might want to mention here or suggest to others
I can mention a lot of people, my parents, my family, friends like you who have always shown an interest in who I am and what I am and not given up and treated me differently because I was thinner and heavier, as well as the people who I met in the networking world. You know, I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to forget anybody, but people know who they are.
There you go.
Because God forbid I mention A and B, hey, I was friends with you too, and I don't want to mention anybody. I didn't mention Marvin because he was the one who got me involved with Ron McDonald House, and I mentioned you because you're the host, but people know who I'm friends with, people who I gravitate to, and it's just a great experience. Like, I was nervous about networking when it first came out because my brother's like, oh, you'll do this, you'll do that, but I met great people at one event, and then my circle expanded, and it created a happy point for me, and I missed the NYBA meetings that you used to have on Tuesdays when I was out of work because it was a great reason to get up in the morning, even though I had to go from Queens to Hop Park, but it got me up, got me motivated.
And you wonder something, there was a lot of us that saw the fact that you did take that long ride. For those that are not in this area, Queens to Hop Park is probably 45 minutes, but Michael decided to do that during rush hour. So
I wish
sure
it was 45
was
minutes. 45 minutes on the way home, yes, but an hour and a half on the way there.
And there you go, Long Island rush hour. Sometimes it's a challenge, or in that case, every time we had a meeting, it was a challenge. But we saw that. You know, we saw your commitment to, you know, to the group, but to yourself, you know, by coming out. out there. And you also knew that there was a lot of us. I mean, maybe we couldn't help you directly, maybe indirectly, but I would also venture to say a lot of us didn't even realize that we were helping you without even really doing anything physical to help you. I mean, just by having you as part of the group, including you in what was going on, because it was difficult to refer you to somebody that was going to hire you that we didn't know who that person was. But, and I know theoretically that's what networking is all about, you know, is to refer people in different situations. But, you know, like at that point, I didn't know any nonprofits, you know, that were hiring. But you were there. You were there for each and every meeting. And that really says a lot about your, but your character. Because
you
were committed to something.
Call me just Mr. Enigmatic.
Okay. I'll call you Mr. Enigmatic. All right, Mr. Enigmatic, who perseveres everything. We've got a little less than 5 minutes on the remaining portion of this program. And I know, like, there's so much over here that you've done with regards to, you know, finding, not only finding a new job, but staying in the industry that you wanted to stay in. And that's so important because that really goes back to your character, but it also goes back to, you know, to ours. You know, are we really doing what we want to be doing? We spend so much time at work over the course of the day, and it is a shame if we're not doing it at a place that we want to be at, because once we are doing it at a place that we want to be at, we're going to be that much better, because that desire to help, the desire to grow, and just the fact that we are naturally who we are in that environment really stands out. So, Mike, I'm sure you're going to have all kinds of success, you know, with this position, and that's going to only add to the ease of losing the additional weight and the ease of you just becoming so much more confident in everything that you do. And I really think that that is absolutely wonderful. So let me ask you, you know, before we break over here, for those that are going through difficult times, what message do you want to deliver to them?
Another quote from Jim Valvano: don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. And when you think things are rough, just do the best you can. Like, everyone's like, when I was looking for a job, they said, don't quit your day job. And I used to laugh. I said, I do want to quit my day job because I'm at the library sending resumes. I'm researching companies I want to work for. So when they said, don't give up a day job, I laughed. I said, I want to give that up and really persevere and do what I really want for my career and my lifetime. And just when times are slow, you just have to say, hey, it's not my fault. You just have to grin and bear it, and eventually you persevere, it's going to happen. Just don't give up.
Yeah. Just keep on moving forward. And having that faith and confidence in yourself to do it.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you just mentioned that you looked at your career search as a job. And it really is a job. It's not a part-time job. It is a full-time job. Going out there and looking for something. And you did this for a couple of years. How'd you keep yourself motivated to do that?
Networking events help. You know, that helped because you saw people like who showed an interest and said, did you find anything? Is there anything I could do to help? Like, I joined the Delphi's networking group, met a bunch of people, and one person, I sent my resume. They got me a job interview, but unfortunately it was in South Jersey. South Jersey's a little bit of a schlep from Queens and the expense. But people listen to you, and some people, like, want to help, and that's the most important thing, I think, in networking. It doesn't matter if exchanging business or ideas or referring, it's someone who wants to help. And you have always helped me, even though you haven't got me an interview, you've always stayed by my side and checked on me often enough to say, hey, how's everything going? What's up? And that makes you feel important, because if they haven't given up on you, you shouldn't give up on yourself.
That's great. That really is terrific, Mike. Hey, I'm glad I was some help in this whole thing, but I'm more happy the fact that you were able to find the job in the industry that you want, and you're able and continue to go down that path of becoming a more confident individual. In this case, through weight loss is one factor of it, but I'm sure there's so much more going on there. Michael, thank you for joining us today. I truly
thank
am
you
glad
so much
that your situation continues to improve, and I really am thankful that you decided to do this, to share your story with everybody.
Happy holidays and Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much. Now, folks, there's
Thank
a
you.
Lot that Michael has brought up in his job search or in his weight loss or in his idea of perseverance that we could apply to just about everything we do. You know, he made mention, you know, the fact that there's a lot of little comments that were made to him along the way by many people that helped him stay focused on his goal, which, of course, was to find that job. But all of that little items in life all add up to something. And we don't know what it's going to add up to unless we're the recipient of it. Michael was the recipient of that. And when it comes to this holiday season, when it comes to any time, you know, what is it that we could truly give somebody? What gift can we really give somebody? And maybe it's the gift of confidence. And you can give that to people, any one of a million and one different ways. If it's a business thing, you could refer them. Or if you're looking for a job, you could refer them. It could be something like that, be doing business with them. But sometimes it's just giving somebody a pat on the back and say, you know, you're a good person. You know it. Other people will see that. Continue on, and you should persevere and make your goal happen. Again, big thanks to Michael Fenster for joining us. You can find him on Facebook, LinkedIn, through the program over here. We'll set up the links. And I want to thank you for being listeners of this program, for focusing in on what you do, for being a part of your community, and for sharing some of your stories with me. My name is Brian Cohen. I'm the host of Strategies of Success. Having those goals, sharing the goals with everybody, and helping other people along the way is always a great strategy of success.